A few years ago, a young lady, I believe she was at the beginning of her senior year of high school, and so starting to look towards the future, applying for college, etc. This young lady, she asked if we could meet, and we sit down in my office. And she says in a rather depressing tone, and without the slightest hint of a smile, she said, "Father, I think I'm supposed to be a sister." And I said, "Wow, you sound pretty excited about that." And I said, is that what you want to do with your life?" And she said, "Well, Father, I don't want my will involved, you know, but people tell me, friends, family, even other religious sisters, they say I'm supposed to be a nun. And so if that's what God wants me to do, then that's what I'll do." And it was like she was saying, if God wants me to be miserable for the rest of my life, then I'll be miserable for Him. And right there, I'm like, that's not God's will. There's no way. And I said to her, I don't think you're called to be a sister. And she said, "Father, that's the last thing I thought you'd say. I thought you would affirm that for me. Like, gosh, that's a wonderful thing. You should go do it." And I looked at her and I said, "But I don't see any joy in you." I mean, could you imagine if a young lady came to you and she had just gotten engaged and she came up and said, "I was proposed, so I'm engaged now." You'd be like, "Oh, wow, that's great. And, you know, I find the guy kind of insufferable, but, you know, he's a nice guy and I think God wants me to do this." You'd say, no, never, right? Of course not. Two of the surest signs of God's will for our lives are joy and peace. Now, there might be times where He calls us to do something very difficult. And something in the first moment we go, "Oh man, you know, not that." But we take it to prayer and there's this deep abiding peace and we know, you know what, He is asking that of me. And when we bring it to Him and discern it, He fills us with joy even in the midst of the difficulty of it. And so I say to this girl, you know, I don't think it's God's will. And she left and she was relieved. I saw her a couple of weeks back and it was so great. She comes up to me. So she's toward the end of her college years now. And I see her say, "Hey, how are you doing? Good to see you." She said, with this big beaming smile, she said, "Father, ever since I met with you, I can't stop thinking about boys and I can't wait to get married." But there was this huge smile, and I thought, that's God's will, right? He made her for the married life, and it brings her joy. It's going to fulfill her heart's desire. But now, why would a young girl who wants God's will, how could she be so far off? My brothers and sisters, what are the voices that we most recognize? It's the voices that we are most accustomed to. And I've seen this in a particular way recently. I'll be at a large gathering and my parents will be present. And every once in a while I have to get their attention and, you know, they're across the room and there's hundreds of people. And I think, man, they're out of earshot, but I got to try. And I'll say, "Mom, Dad." And I think there's no chance they'll even hear me. And immediately their heads turn. You know, everybody else in the room could say "Mom" or "Dad" and my parents' heads would not turn, but they recognize my voice because they've known it since I was an infant. My brothers and sisters, this might sound strange, but we do not recognize God's voice because we are not accustomed to it. And it's only as we begin to become accustomed that we start to recognize it. And the reason we don't recognize it right away, you think, well, God made us, right? Shouldn't we immediately know? Look at Samuel. Samuel, this good kid growing up in the temple, wanting God's will. God calls him 3 times and he still doesn't get it. Somebody else has to tell him, that's God speaking to you. But we don't recognize his voice because our first parents, Adam and Eve, closed their ears to it. They did not listen. And that brokenness of our human nature is passed on to every single one of us. But there's even something more than that. Not only do we have a hard time listening and discerning his voice, but we don't trust it when we hear it. Because when the serpent came to them, he told them a lie. God's not really going to do it. God lied to you. And they bought the lie. They thought, gosh, can we really trust God? And so often we hear God and we think he's asking something, but we don't want to go there. I had a lady come to me not too long ago. And she's trying to figure out what to do, make a certain decision. And she lays it out to me. She says, "Father, what do you think I should do?" And before I respond, I said, "Well, you know, have you taken it to prayer? Have you asked God what He wants you to do?" And she hesitated. And she said, "Well, Father, to tell you the truth, I'm kind of afraid to do that because what if He doesn't want what I want?" But that's in every single one of us, right? This distrust, as if God's will is not going to bring us happiness. Like he doesn't want the best thing for us. Like he might be against me. And it's crazy. But we all have a little bit of that in us. And this is why our Lord, the very first command, in a sense, that he ever gave to anyone, these first two disciples begin to follow him. And they say, Lord, they say, Master, where are you staying? And what does Jesus say to them, knowing our broken human nature? He says, come and you will see. Now, we can't miss that. He does not say, I will show you if you come. He says, you step out in faith and trust me, and then you will be given the eyes to see. But it's so ingrained in us, we want to say, okay, Lord, if you can let me know that everything's going to be okay if I make that decision, then I'll do it. Right? We want the proof first, and then we will follow. But our Lord's saying, you got to go back to the original plan. That you surrender to me, and I will give you everything your heart desires. But it's got to be that way and not the other. But this is why so often in the spiritual life, we need someone to assist us, some sort of guide. Sometimes it might just be a close friend, a family member, who's a person of deep prayer that we say, gosh, you know what? I can go to him or her for advice. Right? They never steer me wrong. They're going to help me to know what God desires. Oftentimes, that's a priest. I remember when I entered the seminary, right? I was a couple months into it, and I'm looking around one day at all the guys who entered with me, and I'm thinking, something's gone wrong, right? I must not be in the right place. Now, I've been shown clearly that God wanted me where I was. But I'm looking around, and one guy, he hadn't broken things off with his girlfriend. Two other guys, you know, sitting at their other desk, I'm looking at them, and they had snuck out the night before to go drinking. And I'm just going, man, this is craziness, right? How could God want me to be here? And so I started making a list. And by the end of the year, I had 25 reasons why I should go somewhere else. And the night before I'm going to leave, as I'm packing my bags, I think, oh my gosh, you know, I should go say goodbye to my spiritual director. Right? The priest in whose hands I placed myself to help guide me. And I go to visit him and I say, oh, Father, you know, I just wanted to say goodbye. I'm not going to be coming back next year. And he said, oh, really? You know, do you want to talk about that? And I, all of a sudden it hit me. I'm like, oh my gosh, he is my spiritual director. Like, that might be a good thing to present this to him. That... And I said to him, I said, because I was so convinced of this in my own mind, my own heart, I said, Father, are you saying that to me as a friend or as my director? And he said, you know, I don't like to enforce anything as a director. I just try to present the best option. And I think the best option for you would be to return here. You knew clearly when you came that this is where God wanted you. If I hadn't had that advice, I would not be a priest today. Because I would have left and gone astray. Because that's where God's will was for me. My brothers and sisters, I close with this. God wants to transform every single one of us. Right? He wants to make us, as St. Paul says, the new man or the new woman to be transformed in Christ. But that can only happen if we step out in faith to follow him no matter what he asks, even if we don't understand why he's doing so at the time. And it will be fulfilled later. But we have to take that step of faith or it will not happen. And I look at the lives of the saints and every single one of them, this is what they did. And I close with this just because it's very fresh. Yesterday was the feast of St. Anthony of Egypt. He was, I think he was 19 years old when he was at Mass one Sunday. And the gospel was, if you wish to be perfect, go sell everything and give it to the poor, and come follow me. Now, Anthony, a 19-year-old boy sitting in Mass, he goes, he just was struck, and he knew those words were for him. So he goes and he does it. Now, you can imagine his family and friends saying, are you crazy? Like, why would you do that? God couldn't want that for you. But he knew in his heart. And he goes out to the desert. He was the founder of religious life. This was in the year 300. every religious order since attributes him as their spiritual father. People would flock out to the desert by the thousands, and there were these three priests who would go to him once a year. And two of them would ask questions, one would remain silent. And after a few years go by, these two, "Father, what do we do in this situation? What do you think is best here?" He says to the one who remains silent, "How come you never ask any questions of me, and yet you're coming here for advice?" And this priest says, "Father, it's enough to just look at you, and I know what God desires in my life, because that's what kind of a witness you've become." My brothers and sisters, let us ask our Lord that we might become His witnesses by stepping out in faith, by making that act of trust, so that He can transform us.